Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house and let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master, and Elijah said unto him, Whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, Thy servant went, No, I didn't. I didn't go nowhere. I just outside.
I've been here the whole time.
Yeah. You didn't see me? Yeah, I walked by the door three or four times. You didn't notice? And he said unto him, Went not mine heart with thee? I was with you the whole time. What you seen out of your eyes, I was seeing in my heart. The power of God is amazing. What is done in the dark will be brought to the light. Nothing is done in secret in this world. You know, that's the worst thing that I look forward to. The playback of my life before God. And he's not playing it back for his benefit. He's playing it back from my remembrance.
Time to sweat for a minute.
Yes.
I know that feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. You're watching the movie of your life, standing before him. Oh, no. I know what's coming next. That's when Jesus comes in and cuts the projector off. And says,
all right.
You know, Lord, I watched this movie. I even lived this movie. I got this.
Yeah, let me give you a cliff notes.
Yes. Went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Sin equals disease. Never a more pointed conversation in this Bible that specifies that. Oh, well, no, the prophet put it on him. No, the sin put it on him. Sin equals disease. What did Jesus say after he healed the man? Go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. You want disease and heartache and hardship in your life? Sin. Just get up and sin every day as hard as you can. And the harder you sin, the worse things will become. Chapter 6, Book of 1 Kings with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WBFF 97.7. And the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Interesting. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam. Let us make us a place there, where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. What's he mean by too straight for us?
It sounds like kind of constraining, or they're constricted. Yes. They can't really do what they want to do.
It's exactly what they say. You know, we know you're the prophet, and we've seen you actually call down fire from heaven, but man, it's no fun around here. We can't cut loose on Fridays. And obviously, that doesn't bother you, so you seem to be as happy as can be. He's over there chatting with God all day long, but we need a little bit more. We got to get a little further from you. And, yeah, our daddies were prophets and all, and we got a little bit of that in us, but apparently we ain't got as much as you got. And he said, and one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. Oh, no, that axe that I borrowed from Bill, the head of it just went into the lake. The man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in hither, and the iron did swim. Amazing. Elisha, twice the miracles of Elijah, just like he asked. Therefore, he said it. He's Therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. And the king of Syria warred against Israel, and took counsel with his servants, saying, In such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. Now this is an amazing, comical story. So, king of Syria just went out, took his army out. He's at war with Israel. Took his army out and he made camp. So, Elisha wakes up in the morning, knows where the camp is. Sends word to Israel, hey, don't go over there. That's where they're at this week. King of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved him thereof, not once nor twice. So this is like a weekly thing. Every time the camp of the Syrians moves, Elisha pops into Elisha's head where they're at.
You guys go that way.
Yeah. He sends a note to the king of Israel. Says, don't go over there. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled with this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them. You see, he had had spies out in the land of Israel. He knows the comings and goings of the king. He knows when the army goes out for maneuvers and where they go here and there and where they like to make camp. So they've got this thing all worked out. We're going to go here. We don't get them here. We'll definitely get them here. And we always know in June they go here. But it's none of it's working. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is serving the king of Israel? One of you is a spy.
Where's the mole?
Yes. I know one of you is sending out camel mail. And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber at night. You know, the look on the king's face.
Yeah, I thought we were in a skiff.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. Even when I have my concubines in there? Everything that comes out of your mouth, Elisha knows. How do you war against that?
Mm-hmm.
You can't. How do you war against God? Saul, how do you do it? You can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. Okay, so we're going to round him up. If he hears everything that I say, we're going to bring him here and put him in the jail. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. When the servant of the man of God had risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? We're doomed. Oh, we're doomed. They've surrounded the entire city. What shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. I tell you what, there are many dimensions to this life. There was a monk in the 12th century that studied only the book of Genesis for years in its original manuscript. He come to the conclusion from reading that book, and I have tried my hardest, but I don't have the ability to read Hebrew and Aramaic. I've tried my hardest just to get a concept of where he got this from, but he discovered there are 10 dimensions within this life. 3 that are seen, and then time, and then there are unseen levels of this life that are all around us all the time. And it's all right there in the book of Genesis. That's why I said between the lines is so important. And it's one thing I regret in this life, and it's my mother's fault. She didn't put me in Hebrew class to learn the language. I got piano instead. I'm very grateful, But, oh, man. And I would have hated Hebrew at the time. But, man, I would love to speak Hebrew now. Just to try to find out how he came to that conclusion. But modern science in the last 20 years, with the super collider, cost $1 trillion, have come to the conclusion there are at least 10 dimensions in this life. 5 to 6 of them unseen, unseeable by the human eye, but they know they're there. Through their recordings and readings of the super collider, they can see that they do exist right here with us. Tell you what, the two in the garden seen all the dimensions, all the different levels of space and time and heavenly beings that exist in these other dimensions standing right next to you. They could see them. They didn't see them with the carnal eyes, they seen them with the spiritual eyes that has been closed when they left the garden. God shut it off. But Elisha, it's been opened again. He asked for twice what Elijah had. He got it. He's seeing into the spirit world. He sees a lot more than those carnal soldiers, than those Syrian soldiers out there. And Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open my servant's eyes too, that he may see." The Lord opened the eyes of the young men, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. When they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, "This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek." But he led them to Samaria. So he simply asked God to blind them all, you know. Could have wiped them all out. Could have asked, "Wipe them all out, Lord. Don't blind them all." You know why? If you kill them, there's no hope for them. You blind them, totally take them out of the entire country. And when their eyes are open, they're in a totally different place. They'll know there's a God in Israel. Came to pass, when they were come unto Samaria, that Elijah said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men, they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elijah, when he saw them, "My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them?" And he answered, "Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow?" No. Takes them to the king of Israel. Well, let's kill them. No. It's greater to capture an entire army than to kill it. "Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. Be kind to them." They go back. Maybe they'll be a little less of the ability to come to war against you. You know, they remember the kindness you showed them. And he prepared a great provision for them. When they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the lands of Israel. I would think at that point, even had he ordered his army in there, the men would have revolted. No. We're not going against that. Whatever that is, it's more powerful than what we have. We were done. He could have killed us all. And he fed us and sent us home. Came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his hosts and went up and besieged Samaria. There was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver. And the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. It tells me there's no food and inflation has gone crazy. It's what happens when commodities get scarce. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king." And he said, the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press? The Lord don't help you, how shall I help you? Shall I give you barley or shall I give you wine? The king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, The woman said unto me, Give thy son, that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son, and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, Give thy son, that we may eat him. And she says she had hid her son. It's gotten that bad. They're eating their children under the siege. It got that bad in Jerusalem in 70 AD when the Romans besieged the city. You get that far away from God, there's no hope for you. Came to pass when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes, and he passed by upon the wall, and upon the people looked. Behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. And he said, God, do so and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day. He's blaming Elisha for this. Not Elisha's fault. But Elisha sat in his house, and the elders sat with him, and the king sent a man from before him. But ere the messengers came to him, he said to the elders, See ye how this son of a murderer hath sent to take away mine head. He's basically told them just right there why this hardship has come upon the king. Son of a murderer. I curse those of the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. So thus saith God. Careful, fathers and mothers, what you do in life. Your children will inherit the evil that you do and the cursings that you have brought upon your family. And only through the blood of Jesus Christ and the acceptance of his sacrifice can they be broken by your children. You, in essence, are cursing your own kids. Well, blame it on God. This man's blaming it on God. Oh, this has got to be Elisha's fault. You need to look at his own father and his own actions in life. When the messenger cometh, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him? Elisha sees everything that's going on around him. You can be that way, believe it or not. You can be at a level of intercession with God where he will let you know the pertinent things around you that are going on. You don't even have to be there.
Even like when they spoke about Christ and said that he heard their thoughts.
He read their thoughts, man. Yes, perceive their thoughts.
And that's before they even spoke.
Yes. And while he yet talked with them, behold, the messenger came down unto him, and he said, Behold, this evil is of the Lord. What should I wait for the Lord any longer? Chapter 7, book of 2 Kings. Then Elisha said, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, in the gate of Samaria. So, he basically proclaims, Tomorrow the economy will be back to where it was. How is that possible? Under siege, we have no food. There's nothing here. I mean, the head of a donkey, which has very little meat value, selling for $700. How is this possible? But Elijah proclaimed it. And the Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine own eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. So the king doubts right there. King says, Elijah said, Tomorrow there'll be plenty of food, plenty of drink. Everything will be back to normal. King said, if God opened up a window in heaven, that's not possible. Doubt. And look where this doubt, doubting God, I mean, this is coming, and he knows in his heart, his mind is in control of him, though. He knows in his heart, this man speaks the word of God, but the mind's in control. The spirit man's on autopilot. He's just sitting in there watching the movie. Mm-hmm. And watch where this doubt gets him. Elijah said, yes, it will happen, but you won't taste one morsel of it. There were four leprous men at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? We say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. If we shall still here, we all die also. And therefore come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, yeah, we're going to die anyway. Let's just go get it over with. Maybe they'll feed us one last meal. They rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians, and when they were come to the utmost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man. The camp's empty. How many times have we seen that?
Fully set up.
Yes.
Probably still got fires burning.
Fully stocked. Yeah. The camel trains had just arrived, fully loaded. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of great hosts. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. The fickle mind of man is so easy to manipulate when the spirit is not in control of it. Like little zombies running around. Without the pus running out of their faces.
Scared them with a noise.
With a noise. Yeah. And we've seen that over and over in here. God plants a little seed in the little fickle human minds. And I don't care who you are or what kind of master's or philosophy degree you have. You have a fickle human mind. God says, I place the spirit in the heart. To gain control of the mind of man, which is contrary to the will of God, to guide this flesh. The fickle human mind is so easy to manipulate by its surroundings and by people of a greater continence than you. Pull you into their sphere of influence. You have to be focused on God. This entire camp heard a noise. And got up and ran away. When these lepers came to the utmost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink, carried hence gold and silver and raiment, and went and hid it. Came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also, and went and hid it. So they're just looting the place. Three or four guys. Hey, let's go hide it, quick. The other guy's going to find out here shortly. And they said one to another, we do not well. You know, this isn't quite right. This day is a day of good tidings. We hold our peace. We're keeping all this for ourselves. There's so much more here than we could ever have.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. And they know in their hearts, if we're this greedy, we're gonna pay for it. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told him, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were. And that tells you right there, that was a supernatural stampede that God put upon those people, those soldiers. They didn't even jump on their horses or asses. They just said, run away.
Mm-hmm.
And they hightailed it out into the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night, said unto his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry, therefore we are gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field. So he's skeptical, even though God told him tomorrow everything's going to be fine. No, that camp's not empty, man.
Yeah, no,
they're hiding all around the outside. And they're hoping some idiot like you came into the camp and found it empty and come and told me, and I'd be as big an idiot as you and go out there. That's what they're hoping. Then they'll jump on us and kill us all. When they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get them into the city. Get into the city. And one of his servants answered and said, let some take, I pray thee, 5 of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are as all multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say they are even as all the multitude of Israel, the Israelites that are consumed. Let us take 5 horses, although they're starving, their skin and bones, just like the rest of everyone here, and let us send and see. They took thereof 2 chariot horses. And the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, go and see. They went after them and unto Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king, and the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord, just as God had proclaimed it. But the king had doubted, said that's impossible. God couldn't open a window in heaven and cause that to happen. And the king appointed the Lord, on whose hand he leaned, to have the charge of the gate. The people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. It was a stampede. Once the news was out, yes, they're gone, and there's food in the camp, fully stocked. Mule trains had just arrived to give refreshments to the army. It's all right there. Big stampede. And just as God said, this will happen tomorrow, king, but you won't taste a single morsel. And he's overridden and stampeded and killed, as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. Came to pass as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And that Lord answered the man of God and said, now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? Impossible. Impossible. And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And so it fell out unto him, but the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died. Don't doubt, Christian. There is nothing beyond God. Nothing whatsoever beyond God. You know, when I was young, there were a lot more miracles that took place. You heard about them all the time. Witness them myself. You don't hear about them so much anymore. Not because God can't do them. Not because the power of God is changing or diminishing. It's because the spirit of man is dwindling. No longer following God with his heart. You know? You get some true believers together, miracles happen. If you're just riding the fence, hoping for that back seat on the gospel bus to heaven, you better think twice about that. God asks you to follow me with all your heart. He doesn't even ask you to be circumcised anymore. Just follow me with all your heart. Be baptized. It's that easy. And you will have the peace and the freedom of the sacrifice of Christ. Been good to be with you here today on Between the Lines with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7. Having some fun in 2 Kings. And we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.